of precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Aero Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. AeroPrecisionUSA.com.
Hey, I'm Tom Gresham, and this is Gun Talk because, well, we talk about guns. If you want to join us, 866-TALK-GUN, or just dial me at TomTalkGun. We're pretty much open lines. If there's a gun or a tool or a technique that you want to know about, whether it's hunting or competitive shooting or certainly self-defense, or if you just want to explore the idea of, you know, should you get a gun for self-defense? Or if you have one, what should you do in terms of becoming competent with your gun? Happy to talk about that as well. Again, 866-TALK-GUN. One of the things I find is that there are different levels of commitment among people who have guns for self-defense. Some just buy a gun and hope that it makes bad people go away. Go put it in the nightstand drawer, and that's it. Some people practice. Some people go get training. And then some people make a real serious commitment to say, okay, this is my life preserver. This is the parachute. This thing is going to keep my family alive. And at that point, which is where I think you need to be, you realize that the commitment is, I guess, like everything else in our lives, it's time and money. Time and money. My wife is a counselor. She says, you will show people what you value by what you devote your time to, not necessarily what you put your money into. I thought that's a really good way to put it. One of the companies that makes exceptionally good things and talk about commitments is Surefire, joining me right now to talk about what they've been up to, and it's a lot. Andrew Wright joins us. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
You guys have been busy, busy, busy. I go to the website, and it's like, holy cow, look at all this new stuff, man.
Yeah, it's been nonstop. As you know, this last year has been a little bit crazy in our market, so business has been good, but yeah, we're just trying to keep up.
Well, and for those who don't know, Surefire is known originally as the flashlight company, and then the weapon light company, and then suppressors, and then other stuff, and everything from things you'd carry in your pocket to things that would go on 50 caliber machine guns for people who using infrared, night vision, all kind of stuff for the military.
Yeah, that's correct. It's just about the gamut from hearing protection to suppressors to, you know, flash hiders, muzzle brakes, weapon lights, you name it.
The one that surprised me, I had not seen this. I probably should have known about it, but I didn't. I went to the website. I'm looking at this XSC weapon light because, of course, the micro-compact pistols are so popular, the P365, the Hellcat, you know, and then you've got this little bitty light, a weapon light that goes on these things, and this is tiny.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I mean, the package and what it does for you as far as concealability, but still being able to have an, you know, awesome illumination tool mounted on the gun, it's a really, really cool little package. There's three models. There's one for the SIG P365, which has been extremely popular. There's another one for the Springfield Hellcat, and another one for the Glock 43 and 48 railed versions. And there's some other gun companies, I believe, that have mimicked those rails. So, you know, it might as well fit on some other guns. But, yeah, it's awesome for concealment.
One of the things I was looking at, I had not seen this before, is it doesn't take like a regular CR123 battery. It's actually a rechargeable battery.
That's correct. So the thought process, well, first of all, it's packaging. You know, due to the unique shape and size, having a light that small with a 123 is a little bit difficult. So the rechargeable gives you a little more flexibility in how you can package it. But a nice side benefit is, you know, this is a removable rechargeable battery. So if you're training, which you should be with your tools, getting familiar with them, then you can easily, while on the range, swap to another battery to keep your low light training going. Whereas some of the other options might be charge in place, and then your light and your gun is going to be down for a period of time, not allowing you to continue training. So it's a pretty awesome little system.
It's a little battery module. You pop it off of the light itself. The light stays on the gun. You put it into a charger, or is it probably like a USB charger, I guess?
Yeah, it comes with a little tray so that it can charge two batteries at the same time, and that is connected by a USB cord.
Okay, so you don't have to take the light off the gun. You don't have to go put the gun somewhere and plug it in. You actually just pop this off, pop another one on, and then it actually has a fuel gauge for the battery.
Yeah, it has a couple LEDs on the side. You hit the button, and you can see where the battery status is. You know, one light means you're running low. Two, you're about two-thirds, and three, you're full. So it's a nice little way to check on the go. Maybe before you carry in the morning, you can check your battery status if you want to swap it out. Real convenient.
I know that you've been asked this a million times, but if you would, why put a light on your gun itself?
Yeah, so I don't think that can ever be talked about enough. A lot of people don't understand the application. Number one thing is you're not going to be able to, or you shouldn't be shooting at what you can't identify. Whether someone has a briefcase in their hand or a weapon, you know what I mean? Whether they're a threat, you need to positively identify what's going on. Mm-hmm. And obviously illumination is needed in low light situations for that. And you can do that with a handheld flashlight, but, you know, shooting, any type of manipulations, reloads, malfunctions, whatever it may be, it's very difficult and takes a lot of training. You can do it with a handheld flashlight, but a weapon light makes everything a lot easier. And you're going to shoot more accurately. You don't have to worry about thinking, lining up the light. You know, your grip's going to be better. Everything is way better with a weapon light. Obviously, in the past, the size kind of, you know, restricted being able to carry that. And that XSC that you mentioned is very, very concealable and nice to carry.
It's funny when you're mentioning it, I'm thinking about, all the training we've done at all the various schools and all, using lights, and you got the Harry's grip, you've got the FBI grip, you've got the chin grip, and all of it is some kind of compromise to how you're actually going to hold the gun. You can't hold the gun as well. You're maybe holding it with one hand while you're holding the flashlight with another hand, and then, you know, woe unto you if you have to, you know, fix a malfunction and clear a jam in the middle of all that at night while you're holding a flashlight, maybe stick it in your teeth or between your knees or whatever else you're doing, or under your arm, and trying to fix all that versus having the light on the gun and you just run the gun the way you normally would with two hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you kind of just hit on one thing is you can, if needed, have one hand on the firearm and still maintain illumination downrange if you had to open doors or, you know, grab a child or interact with your environment in any way. You know, it's nice to have the light on the gun for that additional reason. So it's better in every way, shape, or form.
All right. So I'm sure the first question I had when I looked at it went, that's great. I love my little Micro 9. What about a holster? Once I put this thing on my gun, it's not going to fit in the holster I have.
Yeah, as you well know, you know, the Kydex holster market is huge, and there's a lot of really, really good companies making holsters, and we sent dozens of holster-making samples out to those companies. So, you know, off the top of my head, man, there's so many that it's tough to pull one out. I know QVO Tactical has XSC holsters for just about every model, or actually every model, and there's a plethora of other holster companies that are making multiple firearm and surefire weapon light combinations.
It's almost as though you guys have done this before, sending these out to holster makers before you bring it out.
Yeah, we've done this a time or two.
No kidding. All right, so this is very cool. It's called the XSC weapon light. And I know people are going to say, well, gee, that's a lot of money. Go, yeah, it's a parachute. And I always say, you know, so you're the guy that went in and said, please give me the cheap parachute. No. This is a life-saving device. And the other thing is, you might just explain what the Surefire guarantee or warranty is.
Yeah, it's a lifetime warranty, and we go above and beyond to make sure our customers are happy. So, you know, when you buy a Surefire product, you can rest assured that we're going to take care of it no matter what, no matter how long. You don't need to register a code. You call with a Surefire, we're gonna take care of you.
So what else you guys been working on? What's new?
Titanium suppressors, I think that's probably the newest thing. We have a SOCOM 7.62 tie, SOCOM 6.5 tie, just focused on being as light and as quiet as possible, mainly for bolt guns and the precision side of things. But honestly, Tom, the demand on most of our products has been so crazy that we're just trying to keep up. And we're looking to be caught up, honestly, before the end of the year. And then some new and exciting things are going to be launching around that time. But we haven't launched a whole lot new just because demand's been so crazy. And we're running three shifts at our turning center here and just doing our best to keep up.
You know, suppressors were pretty much the world of tactical, and then the cool kids used them. And now I am seeing a lot of people going hunting with their bolt guns with a suppressor on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hearing protection. It's not, you know, there's so much misconception with suppressors and what they do, you know, because of the movies and Hollywood. They're not some sound deletion device. It's a sound reduction device.
Right.
And the majority of suppressors out there are just bringing, you know, the firearm down to a hearing safe level. And your hearing loss is permanent every time you get it. So people think that the ringing goes away. There's both temporary and permanent. But every time you incur hearing loss, it's permanent and it's cumulative. So I like my hearing. I want to maintain my hearing, and I shoot as suppress as much as I can.
Yeah. I mean, and also, there's an element of recoil reduction with a suppressor, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. It helps not only the weight, but also, you know, the baffles can help reduce recoil depending on the firearm setup, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. For more information, surefire.com?
That's the best place to go.
Okay, look, keep us posted. I know you guys have just been, you know, going like crazy trying to keep up, and it's like a lot of companies are thinking, we got a lot of stuff, you know, back here on the shelves that we'd like to start producing, but we can't even slow down the line right now because we're just cranking stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. No need to throw fuel to the fire and make things a little more tough. But we're just trying to keep our customers happy for the time being. But at the end of the year, we got some exciting stuff coming.
All right, keep us posted if you would, please.
Will do, Tom.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that. Surefire.com. Good stuff. Good people. And man, do they make good product. I love their stuff. And I am a flashlight geek. It's just crazy. I love my flashlights. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. Whatever you want to talk about, let's do it.
Introducing Kimber's Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice. All the attitude of the original, now in a 9mm subcompact that's like nothing else. Here's just a taste of what you get. A match-grade V-cut trigger, TrueGlow TFX Pro day-night sights, the Stiplex front strap pattern, slide lightning cuts, and stepped cocking serrations. In other words, the Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice may be subcompact, but it's still big on performance. Find your new everyday carry at KimberAmerica.com.
Visit GunTalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's Double Strike Giveaway for multiple chances to win one of two grand prize packages from Arms Corps Rock Island Armory. Each grand prize includes the new STK-100 striker-fired 9mm pistol, plus two boxes of Arms Corps centerfire 9mm ammunition. The STK-100 features a solid aluminum frame, an optics-ready slide, and an extended beaver tail. Enter now through July 30th at GunTalk.com/win.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless, black powder, and black powder substitute propellants, and the leader in reloading data for enthusiasts and newcomers alike through the Reloading Data Center. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
On a story that we covered some months ago. We actually talked about it on the show here. In Louisiana, during the pandemic, in Jefferson Parish, which is a very large parish in the New Orleans area, two different grade school children were suspended because during a Zoom class, they're all connected with Zoom, they're online, these kids are at home. One of them, and we talked about Kamari Harrison, he's a fourth grader. While he's doing the Zoom meeting, his younger brother walks behind him and knocks over a BB gun that's over behind him. And Kamari reaches over and picks up the BB gun and sets it up. Teacher sees that, reports it, and they treat it as though he carried a gun into school because he was online doing a class. He was suspended from school for a weapons violation. Another student, sixth grader, Tommy Brown of Grand Isle, had the same thing happen. Well, if you fight hard enough, sometimes you win. We worked hard on this. We got the state legislature to pass a law that says school board can't do that. But more than that, the school board has agreed to pay these to a settlement of $165,000. Yeah, you heard that right. $165,000. Harrison's family is going to get $92,500, and Brown's family is going to get $72,500. In addition, the school board agreed to change disciplinary records of both students to say they were suspended for disruptive conduct and removing all reference to weapons. The school board fought hard against this. The only way you win this kind of stuff is you get good people willing to fight and spend money and hire attorneys and do this. It's just, it's what it takes to win these. So good on them. Let's go talk to Bill. He's in Tulsa on line three. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind, sir?
Just fine, thank you. I wanted to get your take. I have a 22 TCM Rock Island Armory 1911, and then I bought the companion rifle, bolt-action rifle in 22 TCM. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that caliber.
Heck, I'd rather get your thoughts. I don't have one, and I've never shot one, and you've got it. So why don't you fill me in? What do you think about it?
Well, it's very low recoil. The 1911 holds, I believe, 17 rounds. The TCM shoots out of the barrel of the 1911 approximately 2,000 feet per second, and then throws off a fireball. It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
I wear ear protection, and then the rifle is great, and I put a scope on it, and it's not a expensive rifle, and the 1911 wasn't terribly expensive either, but I really really like it. It's not easy to find the ammo currently, but it's only made by Arms Corps, so
right.
But Arms Corps also, as I understand, owned Rock Island Armory as well.
Correct, exactly right. In fact, we're doing a giveaway with them right now. I don't know if you heard about that. What are we getting? I'm looking there. We're giving away a Rock Island Armory STK-100 and 100 rounds of Arms Corps 9mm ammo.
Okay.
If people go to guntalk.com/win, they can enter for that deal. Very cool. Well, I appreciate that. That's a good range report because, I don't have any experience with that caliber. But, it's interesting. Everyone I talk to who has it really likes it.
I'm very happy with it.
Well, great. I appreciate that. See, I didn't have the info, so you filled us in. I appreciate that, Bill. All right, let me go talk to Mike. He's in Oklahoma on two. Hey, Mike, bears, talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I just came off of a hunt in Montana, and as far as carrying a backup gun, I strongly suggest it. I went up there on a muzzleloader hunt and shot about a 300-pound sow, and unfortunately,
grizzly?
She went off. Sir?
A grizzly?
No, sir, black bear.
Black bear,
black
okay.
Bear. I was on a black bear hunt.
Okay.
And I learned real fast they've got a pretty strong constitution. I had shot this one through the shoulder in and out, and then she went off the side of a mountain and 200 yards down side of a mountain. Took us about, on the way down there, I didn't want her to go any further. I'd shot her two more times with my backup 629 just to get her to stop, and that I wouldn't have to go any further down there to get her back up. It did take us about 4 hours. We skinned her out and took the hams off and quartered her up and brought her back up. But I realized they have got a very strong constitution, even a black bear.
Yes.
They can take a lot.
You know, when you, Mike, and you know, having just done it, when you skin a bear, that's when you start to realize how incredibly muscular they are and how much penetration
Absolutely.
It takes to get to the vitals.
Right, absolutely. I this is my first bear hunt. I've hunted Africa four times. I've hunted all over Oklahoma and other places, Wyoming, and this was my first black bear hunt. But skinning that bear out, yes, you're absolutely right. The muscle structure on these animals is phenomenal, and the placement of the vital organs and everything is. And I suggest that somebody, if they're going to go on a bear hunt, at least even go on the internet and find where your vital areas are. to shoot for, because that's a lot of it right there. I clipped one lung shooting it with the muzzle loader.
Right.
And I was using an inline gun with a modern Sabot bullet, but, they've got a very strong constitution and a backup, big gun like a 44 mag, is a very, very good idea.
Mm. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. It's one of those deals that people just don't understand. You know, if you've seen a black bear or a grizzly on the side of a hill and it's like digging and throwing rocks and rolling rocks, and then if you get over there where it's close, you're thinking, those things are so huge, I couldn't pick one up. I couldn't even move it. And they're flipping them like it's golf balls or something. It's just amazing how strong they are. And as a result, it's all that stuff is what you have to get through. And Mike, appreciate the call. Appreciate you sharing your experience there. It's why we talk, when we talk about bears, I realize that a black bear, in this case, 300-pound black bear, it's a pretty good-sized black bear. And you're thinking, well, that's not that much bigger than a big deer, and it's certainly smaller than an elk, and I don't need a whole lot to kill an elk. You go, no, no. Different structure, different critter, different thing altogether. They have, it's just hard to describe the density and the musculature and the structure. And you may need, and it's hard to get it in a handgun, you may need to get through 3 to 4 feet of tissue to get to where you need to go. And so when we go out, and you can go look on our YouTube channel, and you can see what we've done. We've done a lot of shooting with hard cast lead bullets. You go to YouTube and look for our channel and look for hard cast lead bullets. You know, whereas in a gallon water jug, so we might get 3 jugs of penetration with a good defensive load. We sometimes get 9 or 10 jugs of penetration with a hard cast lead bullet. That's what you're looking for right there. And people say, it doesn't expand. It doesn't have to. Trust me on this. It doesn't have to. A good 44 special, 10 millimeter, even 357, and certainly 44 Magnum will do it. Main thing is, you, like everything else, you still have to be able to shoot well for it to work well. And we're back with you, Tom Gresham. It's, you know how the concealed carry movement is working its way across the country, permitless carry, where you don't have to have a government permit to carry a gun. I mean, people who are legal own guns, and they can, if you can buy a gun, if you can own a gun, you can carry a gun. 21 states so far, 21 states have passed what is called constitutional or permitless carry. Louisiana legislature passed constitutional carry, and the governor, John Bel Edwards, Democrat, vetoed it. So the conversation now is whether they're going to try to override the veto, and that's going on right now. This week in Baton Rouge, state capital, the governor rallied around him several law enforcement officers and said, see, law enforcement opposes constitutional carry. And it's a photo op, and the media reports on that, and they say, yeah, law enforcement opposes it. Except, of course, we've seen this so many times before. It's a typical move. It's a political move, and we always know that, you know, you're going to get some that do and then an awful lot who don't, and sometimes the ones who don't, the ones who favor the Second Amendment and the Constitution, they'll speak out. Well, one of them did. Joining me right now is Sheriff Whittington. He is from Bossier Parish in Louisiana, up around Bossier City. Julian Whittington joins us right now. Sheriff Whittington, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. So what's the deal? You watch this dog and pony show down there, and you got some of your colleagues in law enforcement lined up with the governor saying, yeah, we don't think we ought to have constitutional carry. You kind of had a different take on that. What is that?
Well, all of those gentlemen down there are my friends and colleagues, and I'm not sure what their rationale or reasoning is, but I know what works in Bossier Parish, and as you know, the constitutionally elected sheriff, my duty is to ensure that my folks' Second Amendment rights are protected. It's not up to me to guarantee that everybody's a trained marksman. That's not my role or responsibility.
How long have you been sheriff?
Seems like forever. I've been 33 years in law enforcement. 10
Holy
years.
Cow. So In your experience, and we've had concealed carry in Louisiana for a long time, open carry as well. In your experience, people who are concealed carrying, who are otherwise law-abiding, what kind of a problem do they present for you?
None. That's the whole point of it. I asked some of my colleagues, you know, at all your years of experience in investigating crimes and arresting criminals, how many of those people, those drive-by shooters, carjackers, all those criminals, how many had their concealed permit? You know what the answer was? Zero.
None.
Okay.
Zero.
Criminals are criminals. They are not going to abide by the law. That's why they're criminals. They're just looking for easy targets. And you know, currently, in my view, what we have just punishes or penalizes law-abiding citizens.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, the people who are opposing constitutional carry, are they saying that the criminals are sitting around waiting for it to be legal for them to carry a gun so they can then go commit a crime? That just doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense. You can't explain it because it doesn't make any sense. And so I'm kind of getting hung up on this, quote, training. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the training is in Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
You fire 36 rounds from 7 yards. If you don't kill yourself or the instructor, you're certified. I looked it up. We have never failed an applicant in all of our years of doing these permits.
Well, so I mean, to be specific,
the term training is thrown around very loosely.
You don't actually even have to hit the target, do you?
Yes, sir. You do have to hit the paper.
Or you do have to hit the paper. Okay.
You do have to hit the paper, but at 7 yards,
it's not that hard.
It's not that hard. But you know, calling it training is just that's not what it is.
And you got people who say, well, you know, if regular citizens can carry guns, they're going to be a danger to themselves and other people. With all your experience, I mean, do you have many mishaps with people?
Hasn't proven out. I'll tell you one thing. If I'm in the grocery store or the mall and some wacko goes to shooting people and executing people, I hope there are some people in there that have a concealed permit. And you know what? I don't really care whether they have a permit or not.
You don't care if they're wearing a uniform or not, do you?
No, sir, I don't. If they can help take out the bad guy, whether or not they have a $50 permit, will be the last thing on my mind.
Son of a gun. Well, I know that there are, I mean, Sheriff Scott Franklin at LaSalle Parish, he also came out in favor of constitutional carry. There got to be other sheriffs and law enforcement officers who are okay with the concept of law-abiding people being able to carry guns, but they're just getting drowned out by this media blitz from the governor.
That's part of it, I think, and a lot just, you know, don't want to engage and necessarily get in the middle of a big hoopla. But,
right.
You know, it's if you look at the information and the facts, it's just not supporting the argument there's going to be blood in the streets and suddenly, you know, otherwise law-abiding citizens are just going to turn into vigilantes and just go out on killing sprees. That's just hype. That's not true.
I hear you. Well, I sure appreciate it, Sheriff. Appreciate you speaking out on this and telling the truth as you know it with all your years in law enforcement.
Well, it just, you know, all this is about a permit. You know, we don't have a permit problem. We don't even have a gun problem. You know, we have a criminal problem. and we need criminal control, not gun control.
Well, there it is. Bossier Parish Sheriff Julian Whittington joins us. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you do.
Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. You take care. There it is. Zero, none, no issues in 30-something years of law enforcement with people who have carry permits, good guys with guns, and the bad guys, they're not waiting to get a permit, and they're certainly not waiting for constitutional carry. They're just doing what they're doing. And the only thing that blocking constitutional carry does, it says good people are not going to be able to protect themselves. That's all it is. If you're in Louisiana, right now is a good time to be calling your elected representatives in the legislature and saying you want an override of the governor's veto of constitutional carry. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. We'll be right back with more gun talk.
ATN offers Smart HD, Ultra HD, thermal and night vision rifle scopes, binoculars, monoculars, range finders, and more for hunters, outdoor enthusiasts, military, and law enforcement. With features like Bluetooth Wi-Fi, extended battery life, Ultra HD sensor resolution, and full HD video recording, cutting-edge technology meets quality parts in every ATN product. The future of optics is already here. Find your next optic at atncorp.com.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
The Smith & Wesson M&P 380 Shield Easy Pistol revolutionized personal protection with its easy-to-use design. Now, enter the M&P Shield Easy in 9mm. Built for personal and home protection, the Smith & Wesson M&P 9 Shield Easy Pistol features the same easy-to-rack, easy-to-load, and easy-to-shoot design of the M&P Shield Easy series. Available at a retailer near you. Find out more at smith-wesson.com.
A story from a surprising source, you think, well, that's interesting, and certainly happened in this case out of The Guardian, out of England, which usually is pretty anti-gun. You got this story. It echoes what we've been saying and what we've been thinking, and actually what we knew. We've seen all the reports about rise in crime, rise in murders with the pandemic. It makes no sense, of course, that people would be murdering people more because of a pandemic. And we always kept saying there's something else. And they said, well, it's about all these guns. People are buying guns. We had a surge in guns, gun buying. And so as a result, we've had all this increase in crime, except that in the 20 years previous to that, we had a surge in gun buying, tens of millions of guns being purchased, and murder went down by 50%. Murder was cut in half while tens of millions of guns were being purchased. And nowhere, at no time in the media, did anyone ever say, well, look, we have all these guns being purchased and murder rates are going down. Maybe more guns actually does mean less crime. So we have this research that's being done. It's very interesting. Just reading this story. Some of America's leading gun violence researchers have concluded that what might seem like an obvious cause and effect, a surge in gun buying leads to a surge in gun violence, is not supported by the data. Through July of last year, there was no clear association between the increase in firearm purchases and the increase in most interpersonal gun violence at the state level, according to a new study published in Injury Epidemiology, a peer-reviewed scientific journal. The findings suggest that, quote, we need to be looking at other factors like job loss, economic change, the closure of schools and community organizations and nonprofits, and civil unrest, said Julia Schlemmer, the lead author of the new study. They also pointed out something I had not thought of. They said, one of the factors in all of this was during the pandemic, there was increased substance abuse and a decreased access to domestic violence support services. I had not thought of the domestic violence support services being shut down. People couldn't go in, couldn't get help. Certainly could be a factor. The other part that they didn't mention in there, that is clear to me that part of what was going on, we had the whole defund the police movement. We had riots. We had mayors and city councils saying we should pull the police back. We should let these people express themselves. And then when you had riots and the police had to show up, all of a sudden, like in Portland, for 100 nights in a row, you got riots and burning and tearing up buildings and burning cars. The police are there and they're not somewhere else. And look, here's the deal. When you reduce the presence of the police, the monsters come out. The monsters are always there, and they don't come out as much when the police are there because they don't want to get caught, they don't want to get hurt, they don't want to get arrested, they don't want to get killed. But when you pull the police back, the monsters come out and they prey on us. You do not have to have a PhD to figure that out, I guarantee you. Let's go talk with David. He's in Little Rock on 4. Hey, David, thank you for your patience.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
You know, as a good sheriff said, I'm also a career law enforcement officer, and as a good sheriff said, we do not have a gun problem. We have a criminal problem. Me personally, I support 100% open carry, constitutional carry. In my neck of the woods, I make traffic stops all the time. And they say, hey, officer, I have a sidearm on me. I have a gun in a rifle rack. I have one on my ankle. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, thank you for carrying, because if I'm in the thick of it, I know someone's going to be there to have my back. And a lot of these guys that are open carrying, they're not criminals. These are people that believe in the Constitution, right, and they're wanting to protect them and theirs. And I think everybody should carry. Of course, you need a little bit of training, like the sheriff said, but there's not much to get a concealed carry permit. So I think you should just open carry. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Whether there's stricter gun laws or not, criminals are still going to get guns. You know, they can make it real hard for someone to purchase a gun legally. But the problem is criminals are not going to try to purchase them legally. They're out here stealing the guns, and they're going to take your guns.
Right.
So we have a criminal problem, not a gun problem. And that's my two cents there.
How long have you been in law enforcement?
Roughly about 14 and a half, 15 years.
Why do we have this split? We have some law enforcement people who are anti-concealed carry or constitutional carry.
I think it's politics. And it depends on some of the larger departments. A lot of guys are not allowed to, you know, say what they feel, or they're afraid of backlash or ridicule. Now, I will admit, earlier in my career, I had the feeling of, hey, these guys that open carry, someone's going to take it from them and use it on them. Mm-hmm. But the longer and older I get, I look at it just the opposite. If you have a gun on your side, then you should be pretty confident in your ability to use it. You know, don't point unless you're ready to pull the trigger kind of thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because people say, well, you know, they're going to take it from them. And in all my years of researching it, I have very, very rarely heard of an instance where the bad guy actually took a gun away from a good guy.
Correct. I don't think a bad guy is going to walk up to you if you got a gun on your side and say, hey, let me have your gun. I mean, they're going to think twice.
Exactly. David, thank you so much. I appreciate your service. Thank you for weighing in on this. A good call. My friend Clark Apotion sends me a note. He says, also, says they've been releasing criminals from prison and jail, obviously increasing crime. Yeah. If you take the people who you know are criminals because you have convicted them and you put them in jail and you think, okay, and all of a sudden, the city, the mayor, the district attorney, whoever says, oh, just let them go. It's okay. What harm can it be? You're turning the criminals loose on society. You're increasing the number of criminals walking the streets and preying upon the public. Of course crime is going to increase. Of course you're going to have more murders. You had them in custody. You had them in jail. And then you said, no, we don't want them to be our problem. We'll turn them loose and let them be your problem. What the devil are they thinking? All right, we're back. If you'd like to join us for the after show, now's a good time to call 866-TALK-GUN. Of course, in the after show, everyone is younger and thinner, so you'll enjoy it there. All right, let's go talk with Nick in Latham, New York on 2. Hey, Nick, what are you looking at here?
Hey, Tom. I kind of avoided Glocks up to this point
because I prefer manual safeties. Mm-hmm. And I have come across some research and information that there's a couple of companies that can put a manual safety in a Glock by cutting into the frame and putting a standard thumb safety on there. Mm-hmm. But I've also found this device called the Striker Control Device, also known by the name Gadget, which replaces the little back plate. And apparently when you put it in, it allows when you fire, it flips back and forth, but it allows you when you reholster to put your thumb across the back and prevent the striker from going anywhere so that if you were to feel anything in the trigger moving, you're blocking the striker from firing on a reholster. Basically, you know, like holding the trigger on the hammer on a double action revolver. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you are familiar with it and had any input about it.
Well, I'm looking at it here online, and my first thought is, once again, we're trying to replace training and competency with a piece of gear. The other is, if you're willing to put your thumb on the back of the gun, you could be willing just to not put your finger in the trigger guard when you're holstering, thus not shooting yourself.
I'm not worried so much about my particular hand manipulation, but from what I understand, a majority of the accidental or negligent discharges that happen with Glocks happen either because somebody pulls the trigger when they're getting ready to clean it and haven't properly cleared the ammunition, or when they go to reholster, something is fouling the trigger in the holster.
Yeah, and the thing that's fouling the trigger in the holster is 99% of the time it's the shooter's trigger finger. I'm serious.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. People have their finger on the trigger in the trigger guard and shove it into the holster, and the gun does what it is instructed to do. It goes bang.
I've also read incidences of either brass getting caught in there or, like, you know, drawstrings from jackets.
It can happen. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, we're trying to re-engineer something here. Why not just get one of the other brands of Striker-fired polymer guns that are very good that you can get with a thumb safety, and now you're good to go?
I already have that.
Okay, what do you have?
I already have that. And I'm just thinking about potentially getting a Glock, you know, as an addition to something else.
Yeah.
I generally carry a Ruger SR9C with a manual safety
in an
appendix position.
Nice pistol, and very underappreciated, I think, too.
Mm. So the Glock would simply be an addition to the collection.
I get it. I'm not a fan of the stuff, just putting stuff on. I mean, I would either run it the way it comes from the factory, or I would go a different gun, and you've already done that. You know how to run that. I'm just not a fan of this kind of thing. I mean, I really do think it's an aftermarket answer. It's a solution to a problem that really is more of a training problem. And I'm not saying it's not a good thing for some people. Just it's not something I would do. And I think you already figured it out. I would, for me, I'm going to get a Smith, a Ruger, a Springfield, something with a thumb safety if I want a thumb safety, as opposed to this aftermarket deal. Just my deal. Look, I appreciate the call. I got to scoot out of here. I don't know what your take is. If you have one of these, give us a call. We'll talk about it during the after show. If you're on hold right now, don't go anywhere. We are going to get to you. We will roll you into the always fun after show. In the meantime, I would ask you to get serious about your self-defense. Dry fire practice every single day. Practice your draw every single day. You will find that it makes a huge difference. Work on that. Take it seriously. It is, after all, your life and the lives of your loved ones. Be safe out there. Stay in condition yellow. See you next week.